Morning. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You bring good tidings to Jerusalem. Lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Don't be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and he and his recompense accompanies him. He tends to flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The beginning of good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Our last scripture reading this morning comes from the second book of Peter in the New Testament. I'm reading from a slightly different version of the Bible this morning, so if you'd like to follow along in the pew Bibles, that's fine, but this is going to be just a little bit different, but I kind of prefer the wording in this version, in the New International Version. So hear now the words of Peter. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this and every opportunity to come together in your word. I ask that the words of my mouth, the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts be holy in your sight. We pray this in the name of your Son, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the nature of God? Throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, there are many descriptions of God's nature, God's personality, God's character, from wise to mighty, eternal. I'm sure each and every one of us has our own descriptors of God as God comes across to us. In Exodus, in the Ten Commandments, God even describes himself as a jealous God. In the book of Mark, we're told the story of a rich young man that comes to Jesus and says, "Good teacher." And Jesus' response is, "Why do you call me good? None is good but the Father." So we hear of God being described as everything from jealous to good. God is known in many ways and through many ways in our human understanding. But today, the word that's coming to mind as I read this scripture is the word patient. In Webster's, the definition of patient is bearing pain or trials without complaint. Now, I remind you, that is the human definition of patience. And usually it's the without complaint part that we humans have the biggest problem with. We will bear with a lot of pain. We will bear with a lot of trials. We will take tests upon ourselves. But do we do it without complaint? That is the definition of patience. And as we read Scripture, we realize that our human patience is different from God's patience. But then again, God's patience is what we are to be aspiring to, not just human patience. God's patience, as everything that is God's, is perfect. Jesus commands us, "Be perfect, therefore, as our Father in heaven is perfect." So when we try to be patient, we need to try to work towards perfect patience, God's patience. Our patience as humans shouldn't be simply enduring things without complaint. Our patience, as Will spoke of last week, is in waiting for things to happen and waiting for God to happen in this Advent time, waiting for Christmas to come, shouldn't just be waiting. We should be in action. Our patience should be a verb. We should be struggling. We should be growing. We should be working towards something in patience. C.A. Bartle said, "Patience is a nobler motion than any deed." Patience is not simply sitting and waiting. Patience is an action. Patience is a motion. And God's perfect patience is a little bit different than our version of patience. We're going to be reading this month, we have been for the last couple of weeks, from the book of Isaiah. And in Isaiah, the reason we're reading so much of Isaiah, there's two main reasons. The first is that in Isaiah, there's a lot of prophecy foretelling of Jesus coming as the Messiah, who the Messiah will be, what the Messiah will do, and why we should be waiting for the Messiah. We also read Isaiah because in the Gospels, Jesus quoted Isaiah more than any other book of the Old Testament. So we read Isaiah a lot because there's so much connection between Jesus and the prophet Isaiah. But the book of Isaiah is not simply a book of prophecy and foretelling. It is also the telling of the history of God's relationship with the chosen people. God's relationship with the chosen people goes all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, of course, were given a perfect life. Everything was great, and they still found a way to screw it up. And God had to give them some kind of retribution for what they did. But God did not give up on Adam and Eve simply because they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. God still watched over them. God still blessed them. And when their children screwed up, God was there being patient with them, accepting their repentance, and so on and so forth. This goes through the Old Testament. From Abraham and Sarah not trusting in God and His promise of bringing them a child. Instead, they didn't have patience. They decided they'd try to make a child themselves on their time instead of on God's time. But did God curse them for that? No. God had patience with them. God gave them that chance even when they screwed up. Moses was far from a perfect man. In fact, because of Moses' mistakes, he was not able to cross over the Jordan into the promised land. But God still used Moses and blessed Moses, and even used and blessed the people of the Exodus despite all their screw-ups. God had patience. So again, when Jesus says, "Be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect," part of that perfection is working on being patient like God. Now, patience in our own lives and the actions that we have to take can take three main forms. The first form of patience we need to work on is patience with ourselves. Repentance, coming to Christ, asking for forgiveness, and accepting God's grace are all part of that patience with ourselves. Some of the harshest critics we will ever meet are the person we meet in the mirror every morning. If we are not accepting God's grace and forgiveness, if we are not being patient with ourselves despite our mess-ups, despite our shortcomings, despite our weaknesses, we're not trusting that God has patience with us. We need to be patient with ourselves. God's being patient with us. So we need to be patient with ourselves despite our weaknesses. The second kind of patience that we really need to concentrate on, and we can look around the room today and say, patience with each other. Not just with the people in this room, but with the people we meet in our everyday lives. Patience with non-believers is one thing, because they quite often don't know God. They don't have a relationship with God, or they are struggling in their own lives. We as Christians, struggling to be Christ-like, need to work on being patient with non-believers and being patient that God hopefully is working on them. Within our own fellowship and our own community of believers, we need to be patient with each other as well. For those who are strong in their faith, who are active in their faith, we need to be patient with those who are not so far along. With those who are new to the faith or those who are struggling with their own relationship with God, we need to be patient. And for those who are struggling or those who are just coming into the faith, those who are just learning what God has in plan for them, just to them, sometimes people who are strong in their faith and very active in their faith can seem a little haughty, perhaps even arrogant. So we ask you, be patient with us. Patience, human patience, is something we need to work with. We also, as humans, need to be patient with God. Jesus promised that He will come again, that He will come and bring a new heaven and a new earth, a world without pain and without death. Right after Christ was gone, many people believe that would happen any day. But it didn't happen. And 2,000 years later, we're still waiting for Christ. In this scripture that I read, Peter says, to God, one day is as 1,000 years. I know on Monday morning when I show up at work at 6:30, that really feels true. I don't know about you. But the good news is the second sentence where he says, and to God, 1,000 years is as a day. If God can have the patience that makes 1,000 years seem as a day, we can definitely work on our patience a little bit more. And let's think about this. If we are being patient with Christ and his return, one theory is that God does everything in threes, you know, raising in 3 days, being in the pit for 3 days. God does a lot of things in threes. So if 1,000 years is as a day to God, then perhaps it'll be another 1,000 years before Christ comes back. If that's the case, do then we leave to other generations the work that God has put on this earth for us to do? No, absolutely not. God still has so much work for us to do, whether God comes today, or whether Jesus comes back today, or whether Jesus comes back 1,000 years from now. We still have work to do in our waiting and in our watching. God is patient with us. We too must be patient with God. It was a cold winter night almost 7 years ago when I found myself lying in a bed alone. I was broken. I was at the end. For my entire adult life up to that point, I had been servant to one God and one God alone, and that was me. And at that point in my life, I was coming to the realization that I was a failure at running my own life. I had failed in almost every facet of it, and I was brokenhearted. I was broken in my body. I was broken. And it was at that moment, on that cold, lonely night, that God touched my heart and for whatever reason chose to save me, chose to turn me around, chose to lift me up. For all those years leading up to that, God had been patient with me. When I look back on the times before God did that, I realize now that God was working on me, but I didn't know it. But I thank God every single day that he was patient with me and didn't give up on me. Patience is a powerful, powerful thing, not simply a virtue. Edmund Burke said, our patience will achieve more than our force. We can accomplish more, and God did more in my life by being patient with me and allowing me to fall than he probably could have done by hitting me over the head. So I thank God for being patient with me and turning me around before it was too late. And we, each other, must be patient. Patient with ourselves, patient with others, and patient with God. I kind of like the way Abe Lincoln said it. He said, you will sooner have a bird by allowing the egg to hatch than by smashing it. Patience brings forth great rewards. So let's have patience as God has patience in us. And thank you, Lord, for the patience that you teach us and the patience that you have with us. Amen.